Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the fifth chapter. We started a series in Romans chapter number 5 last week called One Thing Leads to Another. Now, if you didn't get last week, I would encourage you to go online and get a hold of it. We will review, and today's message does stand on its own, so don't worry about that. You're going to get something from the Word of God that's going to apply to your life, that's going to build you up and encourage you in your faith. Just by way of review, last time we were together, we learned that one thing leads to another, and the right thing the wrong way is the wrong thing, because what you do will impact others both positively or negatively, but also what others do will also affect you. So you have to choose wisely. Choose wisely what you do, but also choose wisely who you allow into your life and into your space, because bad company corrupts good morals. Romans chapter number 5, we're going to read verse number 15 down through verse number 19. Now, there's a lot said here, okay? And remember, we said this last time we were together, that commentators say this is one of the most difficult run-on sentences that the Apostle Paul ever let out of his mouth, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Spirit of God is here today to teach us some things about life. And there's so much here that we can't cover it in just one session. So we're splitting this section up into two sessions, and we're going to be talking about this, maybe three sessions. We'll see where the Spirit leads. But Romans chapter 5, starting at verse number 15, we're going to read down through verse number 19. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. Now remember, we were talking about Adam, and Adam had offended. Adam had trespassed. He sinned. And because Adam sinned, we were all in Adam. He was a representative of all of humanity, and therefore we all sinned. Now, even though we may not have sinned like Adam sinned, we all sinned. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then it says this. It says, and the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. I love that word abounded. I think about a big Saint Bernard when I think about the word abounded. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Where it just sees you and it loves you even though it doesn't know you, and it starts to abound towards you, right? That big old dog, and it's got the jowls with all the drool and the slobber, like that old movie Beethoven, coming at you, right? And it's just, it just loves you. It abounds towards you, right? Just think about the grace of God sees you. God loves you. God knows you completely. And God starts to move in your direction. You were dead and you were lost and you couldn't save yourself. But look at this. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and now the grace of God turns its face on you, and all of a sudden it's overwhelming you and is anybody alive in this place? Aren't you glad that the grace of God saved you? And it abounded to many. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Remember, we said justification is that the gavel of heaven has come down on your behalf and has declared you not guilty. No longer are you being held for your sin. No, you've been justified. That means it's just as if I'd never sinned. You have been cleared of that guilt. And so it says, verse number 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Notice two words on there, much more and abundance. Much more. We've already talked about how the grace abounded, and that word abounded is a lot like the word abundance. See, there's a whole lot of it. And it says that this is greater. See, this is something we need to understand. That many people are living according to the old ways and the old nature rather than living according to the abundance that God has for them, because there's so much more for each and every one of us. Verse number 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. We're going to stop right there and just talk about this for a second, because I know we can see that there's not only a comparison, but a contrasting. Because we compare Adam and Jesus, we can find that there are some similarities. The similarities are that they both represented all men in their lives. That because of what they did, something transferred to everyone else. But that's where the similarities stop, because Jesus Christ did something so much greater than Adam did. Adam caused the fall, but Jesus caused us to have a future. Jesus caused us to have something that is so much greater than what Adam gave us. Where there was death, now there is life. Let me just break this down a little bit, because I think it's important for us to understand, because the offense added up to a sentence of death. But the grace adds up to a gift of life. The offense by one man brought judgment to all men, but one obedient act by one man brought the gift of righteousness. Judgment of the offense added up to condemnation, but the gift added up to justification. Disobedience from one brought sin to many. Obedience from the one brought righteousness to many. And the disobedience of Adam ruined us, but the obedience of Christ reconciled us. We have a choice in life where we're going to live, because all of us are either going to live in Adam or we're going to live in Christ. And we need to be careful about our choices, just like we talked about. One thing leads to another. All of us are either going to live in Adam or we're going to live in Christ. And Adam is sin, but in Christ is righteousness. And Adam is banishment, but in Christ is nearness. And Adam is condemnation, but in Christ is justification. In Adam is a curse, but in Jesus is a blessing. In Adam is shame, but in Jesus is glory. In Adam is poverty, but in Jesus is riches. In Adam is sickness, and in Jesus is health. In Adam is sorrow, but in Jesus is joy. In Adam is weakness, but in Jesus is power. In Adam is enmity, but in Jesus there's peace. In Adam is bondage, but in Jesus there's liberty. In Adam is judgment, but in Jesus, there is deliverance. In Adam is defeat, but in Jesus, there's victory. And in Adam, there is death, but in Jesus, there's life. What was removed by Adam is now recovered in Christ. We're all in Adam by birth, but we're all in Christ by faith. When you have faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you, on your behalf on the cross, the life that he lived and the death that he died, but also the resurrection. Oh my goodness, it changes the world that you live in. See, what we received in Christ goes far beyond what we received from Adam. We need to get a hold of this understanding, because many people are still living under Adam's authority and under Adam's power. They're living a natural life. But because Adam sinned and the offense came, we were all condemned, and therefore death reigned. And that's why when we live according to Adam, we find dead things. We find things stop. We find things don't work out. There's no life. There's no grace. There's no goodness in Adam. And it's so important for us to understand that what we received in Christ, too many Christians are still living under the old system. They're still living according to the flesh. They're living under condemnation. And yet we have something so much greater that's been given to us in Christ than what was given to us in Adam. God is saying it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to make a choice and to do something different. See, if there's power in sin to condemn us, then there's more power in the righteousness and grace of Christ to justify and to save us. It's a great story about Napoleon. Him and his army had been fighting, and they had a terrible day of battle. Everybody was exhausted at the end of the day. But they knew that the enemy could come back, and so that night they posted sentries around their camp. Middle of the night, Napoleon wakes up and he starts to walk around the camp. He's inspecting his troops and his sentries. And he comes upon one of his soldiers who is just physically exhausted, fast asleep. One of the sentries. The punishment for falling asleep while on watch, death. He should have died. But Napoleon looked at him, picked up his gun, put it over his shoulder, and stood watch for the rest of the night. You can imagine the horror that fell on the man when he woke up in the morning as the light started to dawn, and he looked up, and there's the emperor. There's Napoleon. Oh my goodness, surely I'm going to die. Napoleon notices he's waking up. He hands him his gun back, and he says, be more careful next time. And he leaves him. What do you think that man's life was like after that moment? How do you think he changed? Do you think that he was more grateful? Do you think he was more loyal? Do you think that he fought harder? Do you think that he looked longer? See, there had to be a change in his life from that moment on. Why? Because he was gifted his life. Where he should have been dead, where he should have died, where he should have been condemned. No. Now he's been delivered life. And it's no different with us. Jesus took our place on the cross. That was our cross he bore. That was our punishment he took. That was our pain. That was our sickness. That was our poverty. Everything that we deserve, Christ took on himself on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that means that after the fact, when you've been handed your life should change. You should look different. You should be grateful. You should be loyal. You should be living a life for your King. Because Jesus gave it all for you. I love what it says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. This is one of those verses that I put to memory. I would encourage you to memorize the scripture. This is a great scripture to speak over your life. And it says this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Remember, in Adam, we sinned. Many people say, well, that's not fair. I didn't sin with Adam's sin. I wasn't there. I didn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. How can I be held responsible for what he did? Well, if that's the case, then how could you be held responsible for what Jesus did? See, if it's unfair that we received sin from Adam, then it's unfair that we received grace from Jesus. And yet it says, I've been crucified with Christ. See, when you have faith in Christ, now all of a sudden you're in him on the cross. That's how the righteous requirement of the laws of God could be fulfilled in you, because you were in Christ when he was fulfilling the law, and you were in Christ when he died his death, and you were in Christ when he was raising into life. I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live. No. Me, dead. Me, buried. Me, in the grave. It's not me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Oh, come on. Is there only six of you awake in this place? I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. It's a great verse to memorize. But I would encourage you to read the next verse too. Let's take a look at it together. It says this, I do not set aside the grace of God. I don't take it for granted. This is central. See, I live by faith in the Son of God. Jesus did it, but I don't set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. What is he saying? He's saying you cannot earn it. You can only receive it. Life could not be governed. It could only be given. Jesus gives us life, and he gives it more abundantly. Some of you guys have been striving, trying to attain life. Some of you guys have been chasing every experience in Adam, trying to find it in sex and drugs and alcohol and experiences and vacation. Maybe if I just make this much money, maybe if I just buy a house in this neighborhood, maybe if people just like me, maybe if I get this many followers online, maybe if I can do enough or be smart enough or achieve enough, maybe if I get enough papers on the wall in my office, maybe if I can climb the corporate ladder. And we've been chasing experiences in Adam rather than receiving the very life of Jesus Christ by faith and allowing the grace of God to do what we could not do. See, the death blow of sin was overwhelmed by the life force of Christ. And what we had in Adam now has been blown away. I love what it says in John's gospel when it starts talking about Jesus as the light, and that the light entered the world and the darkness could not comprehend it. Really, I love the translations that say could not overcome it. You know, if we blacked out this room and I just lit up a little match on this stage, everyone in the room would see it. It can't get overwhelmed by the darkness. No matter how much darkness you have, it will never put out a light. I could take out my cell phone and push that little button and allow that little flashlight, and everybody in the room would be able to see that light. You see, the death blow of sin was overwhelmed by the life of Christ. We need to receive of that life. Death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tells us that. You're welcome to turn there. We're going to go there in a second. But 1 Corinthians 15 talks about how death is an enemy. Death is, in fact, the last enemy. I wish it wasn't. I don't know why God chose to make death the last enemy. Wouldn't you love it if you got saved and just bang, beam me up, Jesus, all of a sudden you're out of here? But understand that God needed to leave a witness on the earth. And he's perfecting the saints. He's purifying his body. He's coming for a pure and spotless church when he returns. And so we're still here because we've got some things to learn. We've got some things to do. God wants to use us to be a witness, to be the light in this dark place. But that death is just an enemy. It's lost its sting, but it still is there. In fact, this week and the week before that, I've sat with families, talked to them on the phone, people who lost loved ones, some before their time, one a young adult, so sad, one in their middle age, overcoming, and it looked hopeful, another one old and full of years, and ready to be with Jesus. And even so, it still hurts for those of us who are left behind. Yet God says, what I've given you in the life has overwhelmed what you received in death. We're all going to go through it. Listen, if Jesus doesn't return in our lifetime, we're all going to go through it, right? The statistic is still the same. 100% of the people born on this planet will die if Jesus doesn't return. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 21 and verse number 22. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. You're welcome to read along whatever translation you have. It says, "For since death came through a man, Adam, it's fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Christ." Sounds a lot like Romans chapter number 5, doesn't it? Verse 22, "Even as all who are in Adam die, so also all who are in Christ will be made alive." One of the redeeming factors of what I've gone through these past 3 weeks talking to the people who are mourning and grieving the loss of a loved one is that their loved one was in Christ. And the only hope that we have is that if they're in Christ, then guess what? They're okay. They have just passed over. They've crossed over Jordan. Now they're on the other side. They are in the promise. They are looking at the one that they love. Oh my goodness, if you gave them the option to come back, they would not come back, because my goodness, look at what's here. And you guys are going to be okay. And now they're a part of that great cloud of witnesses saying, hey, you have hope. Keep going. Live the life that God has for you. God is blessing you. You've got the grace of God. You've got the righteousness of God. Keep moving forward, and it'll only be a twinkling of an eye. They'll turn around, and so we'll be with him forever. That's all it's going to be. Our life is but a vapor. I love what Dr. Stuart Briscoe said. He wrote this. He said, "For every sin that robs and destroys another particle of human experience, there's a grace to build and restore. For every grave opened by sin and death, there's a door open in heaven by grace. While mourners mourn over loved ones laid to rest, angels rejoice over sinners coming to repentance." Listen, there is a party in heaven when someone makes it safely home. The angels rejoice when they see people turning from their sin. And we cannot get caught up in the things of this earth. We can't get caught up in Adam and in death. No, we've got a life that overwhelms the grave. Because the grave couldn't hold Jesus. It was just a temporary place. We have to see that. See, where we'd received the guilt and wrath of God, we now receive grace and righteousness. See, for someone who's not in Christ, all they can expect is wrath. All they can expect is a fearful expectation of judgment. But for those of us who are in Christ, we can expect grace, and we can expect the righteousness of Jesus Christ on our behalf. See, if there was a depth of guilt that flowed from the stream of Adam's sin, then there's a greater flood that clears guilt from flowing from Christ's righteousness and his grace. I love the story Charles Stanley, famed preacher, tells. He talks about a time when he was in Bible college, and he had a teacher that was one of his favorite teachers. They were teaching on grace. As they came in, they were going to have a test on this subject of grace. So they all came in, all the students came in, sat in their seats, and tests were passed out. And he said, "Now, everyone, I don't want you to do anything on this test until you've read the whole thing, okay? I don't want a single answer written down. I don't want you to put anything on the paper until you've read the entire test." And students finally are given the permission to flip over their test and start reading. So they flip it over and they start reading. And as they read, they realize, man, this test is really hard. In fact, I don't think we covered some of this material. Some of them are getting frustrated. Some of them are breathing heavier. You can hear the frustration moving through the room. But the last line on the test simply said this, that if you will just sign your name at the bottom of this test, now that you've read it through, that you will receive 100% on this exam. Some of the students got so frustrated and so upset that he would do that, that they slammed the test down on the instructor's desk and they walked out without ever signing it. And they failed. One student decided, you know what? I want to take the test. I don't want to be given a grade. I want to earn my grade. And so he took the test, got a C+. Pretty good. But he could have had 100. The rest of the class? Received their 100%. See, in our life, we need to understand you can't earn this. You could try, but you're going to fall short. You're not going to make it. And it's not just like getting a C on a test, it's like getting an F. You can get frustrated. You can reject it. You are welcome to do so. But that's not going to make it. Or how about this? Sign me up, God. Let me place my life in your hands. And God, I simply receive the life that you've given to me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, again reading from the Passion Translation. I know that this is very poetic. I know that it may not be a direct translation, but my goodness, the way that it's written is just beautiful. Look at what it says, mercy kissed me. Woo! What? Juicy. I want to hear what he has to say. Mercy kissed me. Even though I used to be a blasphemer, even though I used to use my mouth for the wrong thing, God came and he gave me a kiss. Wow. A persecutor of believers and a scorner of what turned out to be true. I was ignorant and I didn't know what I was doing. Verse 14, I was flooded with such incredible grace like a river, overflowing its banks until I was full of faith and love for Jesus, the Anointed One. Verse 15, I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life. That's why Jesus came. He was on a rescue mission. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And he came to save sinners. Now, lest we say, yeah, all those people out there, those sinners, all them over there. Look at the next line. He says, even me. The worst sinner of all. Hold on. I'm sorry, what? You're the Apostle Paul. Paul, weren't you a Jewish rabbi before? Weren't you teaching people about God? That's a good thing to do, teach people the Bible. Teach people the Word, tell them about God. You were praying all the time, weren't you? I mean, you had the Word attached to your wrist and on your forehead, and you prayed. You ate the right food, you did the right things. You tithed, you gave your money. My goodness, Paul, how can you say that you were the worst? He was a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is? They held to the strictest form of the religious law. Paul, you were probably better than all of us combined. I mean, we're in Southern California. This is San Bernardino. The Inland Empire, you know what goes on here? I mean, Paul, we deserved hell, but you, I don't know. You might have got that C+ on the test, but Paul says, no, you don't understand. The worst. Why? Because when you have looked your sin in the eye, when you stared that monster down, and you recognize the darkness, the ugliness, the vileness, no matter how good it looks to, oh, it's okay, it's fine, don't worry about it, everybody does it. Mm-mm, no. Vile. Vile. How could I? I'm the worst sinner. But what did the Apostle Paul do? He persecuted the church. See, he may have not murdered someone himself, but he was over there taking coats. Come on, here's your check-in tag, all right? Come get your coat after you kill that guy over there. First martyr, Stephen. Apostle Paul's there. Here, I'll take your coats. Go ahead and kill him. He may not have been out there murdering people, but he consented to their deaths. Yeah, put them to death. They deserved to die. Dragging people out of their homes because they followed the way of Jesus Christ. He says, I was the worst sinner of all. Again, you may have never eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. You may have never persecuted the church, but you know in your heart what you did. You can say like Paul, I was the chief of sinners. I was the worst sinner of all. You know, the Apostle Paul also called himself the least of all the apostles because he was one born out of time. And yet God used him to do great and mighty things. Why? Because he simply received the life and the grace of God that was available to him. Look at verse number 16. Yet I was captured by grace. Anybody captured by grace? How many of you, God got a hold of your life? Even though you were vile and you were debased and you were in darkness and you were lost, yet I was captured by grace so that Jesus Christ could display through me the outpouring of his Spirit as a pattern to be seen for all those who would believe in him for eternal life. Guys, your life is not your own. One thing leads to another. You are saved not just to go to heaven, and that's it. That's why God didn't just beam you up when you got saved. No. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a destiny for your life. You are to be a pattern of good works for those around you. People ought to be saying, hey, there's something different about you. Hey, I need to talk to you. Hey, I'm going through a hard time. Can you pray for me? Can you show me the way? Listen, you know Jesus. You know what's going on. Why aren't you concerned about what's going on the earth? And you can share with them, I was captured by grace, and now God is overflowing in my life. That's what this is all about. Because one thing leads to another. What we received in Christ goes far beyond what we received from Adam. The death blow of sin was overwhelmed by the life force of Christ. And where we would receive guilt and wrath, now we receive grace and righteousness. And grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. It's God's power in us to do it as truth demands of us. And this is where the rubber meets the road. But if you want to find out about that, you're going to have to come back next week because we're out of time. Good. Hey, let's do this. Like Pastor Brian said, we've got some time left, about 9 minutes, then we're going to let you go. All right, so I'm going to ask no one to get up, no one to leave. I saw like an exodus out of this doorway over here. A bunch of people left. And so if you're out there in the foyer or if you're walking down the breezeways right now, I want you to stop and listen up because God wants to speak to you as well right where you're at. Online, don't log off. Come on, church is not done yet. God wants to speak to you as well. It'd be tragic if we stop right there and we let you go. You died and you ended up in hell. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you, but more than both of us, God doesn't want that for you. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on the cross. And like we said in the message, either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. Either you're under death's reign or you're under the rule and the reign of grace and the goodness of God. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I went to church. Isn't that enough? No. Nowhere in the Bible says go to church that makes you right with God. You get to go to heaven. It's not how it works. There's going to be a lot of people that went to church that never make it to heaven. Isn't that shocking? I'd pay people to go to church if that's all it took. But it takes more than sitting in a sanctuary and warming up a spot. You say, but Pastor, I've been a good person. Doesn't God want us to be good? Well, like you heard the message, you can't be good enough. All of us fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And we're still under that rule and reign of death. As long as we're in death's rule and reign, we're not going to make it to heaven. Sometimes people say, but Pastor, you know, my parents raised me in church. Maybe they took you to religious classes or hung religious jewelry around your neck. Had you baptized or christened as a child. You might have wore a t-shirt that said Jesus or got a scripture tattooed on your arm. Listen, none of that's going to get you to heaven. There's no default setting. I don't care if you're not some other religion. I don't care if you're born in America. America's not the Christian nation and everybody born here goes to heaven. That's not how this works. That's so foolish to think of, isn't it? And yet a lot of people are just floating through life thinking they're right with God when actually they're not going to make it. Come on, today we're talking about your eternal life. Listen up. Some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, maybe you don't understand my last church. I got involved. I didn't just sit. I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. Those are all honorable things to do. None of them will get you to heaven. God's not looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card to a church like some bank commercial saying what's in your wallet before you get into the gates of heaven. That's not going to make it. Someone needs to love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to tell you the truth. Today, I'm doing just that. You might think, ah, Pastor, okay, I got you on this one. Don't worry about me. I know God. I know about Jesus. I know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. Doesn't that make me a Christian? No. Don't the Bible say, just sing a song or quote a scripture. You find the devil quoting scriptures in the New Testament. He's not a Christian. The Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. They're not going to make it. Everybody look up here for a second. Even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about having mental assent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, and that gets you right with God, but rather it's about your heart. God's always been after your heart all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Jesus said it like this. He said, you must be born again. Listen, it's not a way, it's the way. And it's not what society, movie, Hollywood, television, books, and blogs on the internet have to say. It's what the Bible has to say. What does being born again really mean? From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. It means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's just that simple. You say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Listen, it's not just a prayer. It's not just one time you throw it up and then you can live like the devil the rest of your life. No, no, this is all of your heart and all of your life. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. That means it's not just a one-time prayer. God listens to the words of your mouth and he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, you're not going to make it. You've got to surrender all of your heart and life to Jesus. It starts with a prayer. It starts with a confession. But then it flows into the rest of your life. Jesus said that you got to take up your cross daily and follow me. There are those of you in this place that you've not yet given God all of your heart and you've not yet given God all of your life. Or maybe you're in this place and at one time you prayed a prayer, but you backslid. Found yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do. Or maybe you've just kind of gone into complacency. You're lukewarm, half-hearted. Jesus said, when I come, I'm going to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. So you've got to be wholehearted for Jesus. Not half. Half doesn't make it. It's got to be all of your heart and all of your life. You say, Pastor, let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, 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 you can't do that. Because you can't be good enough. You're not going to be able to clean yourself up. You got to come to God and He'll clean you up from the inside out. Listen, He's not in therapy over what you did last night or last week or last year. He's not taking Prozac ring in His hands. God loves you and He's here with open arms saying, listen, you haven't been too bad. You're not too far gone. I know you're the worst of sinners, but there's grace available. God's waiting for you. Will you come? Give Him all of your heart and all of your life. In a moment, I'm going to count to three just like this. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang. That's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're saying something. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. And to be born again, headed for heaven and denying hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. You might think, whoa, 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 wait a second. Time out. Pastor, if I raise my hand, people will see me. I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than just to end up in hell forever? Don't let the devil talk you out of this right now. Tell him to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. Go on with God today. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, He says, I will deny you. Your call today, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. That's a choice. Or how about this? Get right with God in this safe and friendly place. You might say, Pastor, leave me alone. I'm young. I've got a lot of life ahead of me. I want to just quickly direct your attention to the screen behind me. Got two pictures. One is of a guardrail. You can see it on the left-hand side. It was broken. 200 feet beyond that is a car flipped upside down. That happened Friday night. As we were driving our kids up to camp, one of our members saw this take place. They thought for sure the guy's dead. They started a prayer meeting right there on the side of Highway 38. Ran down to find that the guy who literally walked out of the car. And our member shouted in his face and said, God saved you. You better give your life to Jesus. Now, the guy didn't pray at that moment. But listen, guys, we don't know when our last day is. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. 4th of July, I'm sure that the people in Texas didn't think there'd be a flood. You never know when your last day is. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Don't wait another minute. Today, it's your day of salvation. So I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before. Never given God all of your heart and life. Come on, I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? If you're lukewarm or half-hearted or backslidden, and you know it, you can make a fresh rededication to the Lord today. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. You see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. That's you. You know who you are. Thank you in the back. I got you right there. Thank you over here. There's two. God bless you. There's three right there. Yep. Got you over there. Who else today? Need to give God all your heart. There's four up in top. Got you right there. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Five in the family room. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Five wise people. Six. Oh, wait. Are we stretching? We're stretching. How'd I get in heaven? I don't know. Seven right here. Yeah, thank you. Eight right there. Yes. Nine right there. Yeah. God bless you. Point down here somewhere. Anybody else real quick? Just want to give you another opportunity. About nine wise people. If there's nine, don't you just know there's 10? Come on, number 10. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yeah, you should. Let's go for God today. Number 10, come on. God's holding this whole thing up just for you. Number 10, where are you at? Just get number 10. I got you in the back. Praise the Lord. Last call, anybody else? Last call, last sweep through. Anybody else, if that's you, get that hand up real high. Thank you. I got you up top. Yep. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Last call, last call, last call. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand for about 10 wise people. Can we all stand together? And I'm going to ask once again, no one leave during this time. I want to invite those of you that raised your hand. Would you just slip out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now? Because we're going to change destinies together. But we need you to get down here right now. Come on down. Come on, let's welcome them. Let's welcome them. Come on, church, let's give them a hand. If you're next to somebody that raised their hand, or maybe you don't know them, just be the full-time minister. Give them a little nudge. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them right now. Come on, no one leave during this time. Let's let them come. Come on, they're coming. You can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on down. Front to back, left to right, from the family rooms, from the foyer, wherever you're at. Come on. Right now, come on down. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, we got our 10, but I wonder if there's 11. I wonder if there's 12. I wonder if there's 13. I wonder if there's 14. I wonder if there's 15. If you need to get out of your seat, just get out of your seat right now. Come on down. Come on down. Anybody else? Come on. Well, hey, everybody up front. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. I want to encourage you, there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. You got to stay after this. This is not just a one-time prayer. It's not just a one-time walk down an aisle. This is a lifelong decision. It's a lifelong journey with Jesus. And we're here for you as a church family. This is my friend, Pastor Joel, waving at you. Really good guy. For time's sake, I'm going to have you go with him. He's going to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart, going to be born again. He's going to give you some free information, some free literature. Find out what just happened and what to do next in your walk with God. And then talk to you about getting back to church, finding a faithful friend who will walk this walk with you. Okay? It's easy. It's free. He'll take a couple minutes of your time. If your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe. Okay? Your friends and family that came with you, they'll wait for you. Would you just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way? Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. For those of you joining us online, if you raised your hand and you want to pray that prayer and commit your heart and life to Jesus, go to our homepage at rockchurch.com, find the tab that says Know God, and there's a video that you can play that will lead you to prayer, and you can put in some information, and we would love to send you the same materials we have here live. Hey, Rock family, love you guys so much. Tonight, everybody say tonight, 6 p.m., Pastor Jess is going to be leading. If you like that, like, 45 minutes of praise, you're going to love tonight because that's what tonight is going to be like, okay? Sunday night service, Pastor Jess is leading. We're allowing some room for the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do, okay? So come back tonight and experience another encounter with the presence and the Word and the living God, all right? It's going to be absolutely amazing. Then Wednesday night, my friend Jeff Osborne, who just lit up the youth up on the mountain, okay? He's going to be with the adults Wednesday night. So get ready. Bring a seatbelt because, man, that guy, wow, it's going to be amazing. You're going to absolutely love it, all right? Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs, we call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.